This morning I'd like to begin a message. I don't believe I'll be able to finish this morning, but I'd like to begin a message on the thought of life essentials. Life essentials, or those things which are necessary for life. In reading by way of our beginning text, or launching text this morning, the latter part of John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus speaking, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Once again, John chapter 10, verse 10, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing as we look to His Word this morning. Father, we thank You in the holy name of Jesus for Your goodness and grace. We thank You for the blessing and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we pray in Jesus' name that Your Holy Spirit would continue to move upon us as we look to Your Word this morning. God, we pray that You would speak to our hearts through Your Word. And that, God, we would not only have ears to hear, but, God, we would be willing to receive what Your Word is teaching us and put it into action in our lives. We ask Your blessing both upon the words, but also upon our souls. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. How wonderful it is to be alive. Amen. Not everyone has received the gift of salvation, although that gift is open to all. But everyone who has ever lived has received that wonderful, beautiful gift from God, the gift of life. And life is wonderful. The ability to live, to breathe, to do more than just exist, to grow and to change, to experience. Life, especially as God has intended, is a blessing and a wonderful gift. And the scripture that Jesus has for us this morning in John's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 10, is a message that not only as believers do we have the privilege of natural life, not only these physical bodies, but everything that makes us people, our intellect, our spirit, and whatnot. We also, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have the privilege of a supernatural life. Christ telling us that He not only came to give natural life, but came to give us life to the full. King James Version telling us, "I have come to give you life that is abundant. Life that is overflowing. Life that is superfluous." Isn't that so much like the nature and the character of God? Not only to give us good things, but an overabundance of good things in our lives. But what does that mean? Well, when we talk about life and what life is and what life means, one definition that we're given is that life is manifested by an organism that is noted through metabolism, reproduction, communication, and adaptation to environment. Sounds so sanitized. Sounds so mechanical. It sounds so much less than what God has intended life to be. But as far as being an entity which demonstrates metabolism, reproduction, communication and adaptation, for some forms of life on this planet, that fairly well sums it up. One thing that comes to mind is an organism or life form known as the amoeba. Amoeba is a scientific term, at least one that I've come to know it by, is a big ball of goo. There's not much to an amoeba. If someone refers to you as an amoeba, they're not paying you a compliment. An amoeba is a single cell, and I'd have to reach far back to my biology days in high school. But But it is a single cell creature, a protozoa. And it is wondrous. And all life is wondrous because all life is given from God, whether great or small. And has a very important role as far as the existence of life here in God's plan. But as far as compared to man, an amoeba barely rises above existence. An amoeba exists. It's there. It does things, but it doesn't do a whole lot. Feeds on decaying matter and not much more than that. It does demonstrate metabolism, reproduction, communication, and adaptation. But life, as far as mankind, and I'm talking about natural life, is more than just existing like an amoeba or any other part of God's creation. God intended man to more than exist. He intended man to live. And life is a blessing. And we live. We're above all of creation. We're special. As people who live, we have the ability to think and to reason. God has given mankind a great intellect. We have the ability to study, to investigate, to think upon, to meditate upon things, to learn, but not only to take in information and learn those things, but to assimilate those things and come to conclusions, to move beyond what we have into something greater. I'm thankful that we're not living in teepees and using stone knives and things of that nature. We're not living in caves. But we've progressed to the point where we live in nice homes and we have lights. Bless God, we can have service at night and do it well. We can print volumes upon volumes of the Word of God and distribute it. Now, in the day and age that we live, we can communicate across the world. The world has become so much smaller. Not only have we grown as far as knowledge and things of that nature, God has given mankind the ability to create. Not just with the touch and the inspiration of God of creating biological life, of reproducing ourselves, but to express ourselves in a creative fashion through music, through poetry, through literature, through the arts, even cooking. Isn't it, cooking, and I'm not a cook by any means, but creativity is something that God has given us to touch every aspect of our lives. And how many have been touched by the love of your mother or your spouse's or some family member's cooking? Something they did special for you. It's creation. God, life is more than just existing. Also in life, we have the ability to experience pain. Although not something that is desirable. And you might say, well, Brother Randy, a lot of forms of life on earth experience pain. Yes, but not in the depth and not to the complexity that you and I do. Now, you might say, why would you associate pain with living? Well, pain, although it's not desirable, pain is an important part of life. It lets us know that we're alive. It lets us know when something is wrong, when we need to make changes. And yes, animals experience pain. And if you don't believe it, when you go home, step on... No, don't do that. I'm going to get in trouble. But I've done that not wittingly, unwittingly. But as we mentioned before, not to the depth and the complexity of man. Although pain is not something that's desirable. And bless God, there is coming a day where pain will no longer be something that afflicts man. Every tear will be wiped from our eyes. Even today, God can take pain and has used pain to bless mankind. It's inevitable. But there is blessing in pain. Pain, when we experience pain, it helps us grow as people. And I'm talking outside of faith. We'll be talking about faith in a few moments. When we experience pain, it helps our hearts enlarge as far as the area of compassion. You know, when you don't go through suffering in your life, for some people, it's difficult to empathize with their pain. You know, why are they so upset about this? Why are they acting the way they are in response to this sickness or this tragedy that has come into their lives? Why don't they just kind of, I was going to use the word suck it up, but I won't use that from the pulpit. But why don't they just move on, get over it? But when you go through trial and difficulty, it makes you realize the magnitude of pain. And so it makes you more compassionate towards those who are going through a tough time. And yes, there are times when those who are suffering, they need maybe not so much a pat on the shoulder, but a kick a little bit lower. Henry, I'll meet with you later. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. But there are times, and every time someone goes through pain, people need to hear compassion or need to receive compassion. And going through pain is a blessing. One of the blessings in that is that we can take that and be more compassionate towards others. Emotional pain can also, in that, God can use that to be a blessing. Because when we're wounded by the words and the actions of others, and you know, and I'm not saying, you know, it's important that we not be too thin-skinned, that you know, we're easily offended. But we should never get to the point where we're cold, calloused, and hard-hearted against the deeds and actions of others. Because once we get to that place, we've lost something special that God has given us. When emotional pain happens, it reminds us that at least in one area of our lives, we're still where we need to be. We're still sensitive to that area. In living, we have the ability to experience joy, the feeling, the emotion that's within our heart of great delight that goes beyond just having one's needs met. If I could reduce it to the example of a meal. You know, you could come to my house and I could put before you a pile of soy protein or a boiled potato with no salt, no pepper. And it might fill your stomach, but it wouldn't bring you much joy. But you can come to my house and have a nice steak cooked on a grill or a beautiful casserole or a lasagna with good seasoning and garlic bread, and that'd be a joyful experience. Joy is something that we're given. It goes beyond just having our needs met. It's experiencing happiness and delight over the good things in life. And yes, even though bad things happen, there are always good things. Thank God for the country that we live in, the freedom that we have. There's good things. There's loving relationships, friendship, family. The good feelings over a beautiful morning, a wonderful meal, even success. In living, we also contain within us the capacity to love. And I know some people regarding their pets say their pets love. And I know pets, I've had pets practically all my life, and they do show affection. Whether that's love or not, I'm not sure. But whatever they demonstrate, it's not to the level or the complexity of man's love or what God has designed man to love. As people, we can experience love to its fullest extent. We can experience the love of family. We can give and also receive the love of a spouse. We also in life can experience the love of friends, the love of country. All these things. There's so many dimensions of love. We're not limited to love. Why? God has given us not only the gift of existence, but of life. That we can experience love on every dimension. And there's good reason for this. Because in God's framework of things, mankind was created uniquely and supernaturally. Reading the book of Genesis chapter 2 verses 4 through 7. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, no plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Prior to this, God did much in the way of creation. He created dry land. He created the skies. He created the earth, moon, and stars. He even created life. Plant life. Birds. Fish. Animals. All the different animals that we have. But with man, he gave the capacity to do more than just exist. He gave the man capacity to live, to love, to have joy, to experience pain and sorrow, to have an intellect to grow and to develop by the power of his Holy Spirit breathing into his nostrils the breath of life, man becoming a soul, man being truly alive, man being made what? In the image of God. But bless God, the life that we were given when we were conceived by our parents was only the first step, because God had an even greater life and has a greater life in store for every living individual. Because when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become born again. And the living that you experience, as wonderful as it is, becomes even more so when you receive Christ as your Savior. Our text once again: I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. As good as life is, and life was created to be good, it is immeasurably better when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. Of course, one aspect of the life that we're given when we accept Christ as our Savior is that of an eternal destiny. That we no longer have to fear life after death. But in heaven right now, Jesus, in preparing his disciples for his departure, not his death on the cross, he was going to rise and did rise from that, but from his ascension to the right hand of the Father 40 days following his resurrection from the dead, said, I am going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. And that place will not be a place that will last for a time or a times or a season, but will be a place that will last for eternity. No fear of the future. We have life, and to the full, without fear of the second death, eternal separation from God. But Jesus Christ has not only ordained that there be full life for the future, but full life for us here and now. In taking those special things that God has given us in our lives and making them immeasurably better. Think in the area of knowledge and of intellect, of thinking and of reasoning. When we accept Christ as our Savior, the Lord opens up our minds, our hearts, and our spirits to a brand new realm and all of its wonders. You know, animals are great and pets are great. But an animal can't appreciate the beauty of a sunrise or a wonderful symphony or beautiful music or beautiful poetry. Man can because he is so much beyond them. He has been given good things from God, man being created in God's image. And as natural people without Christ, we are not able to experience the glories, the beauties, the splendor of knowing Jesus and the spiritual realm. But when we accept Christ as our Savior, God, in pouring down the abundance of life, opens the doors wide open to life in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. And he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. God, when we accept Christ, gives us understanding in the world of the supernatural. All of a sudden, the things that were hidden to us have now been revealed. His plans, His purposes, His righteousness, His word, His way, His love. We're all able now to experience, to take in us, and to grow in Jesus' name. In the area of pain, our ability to derive blessing from pain is immeasurably advanced when we accept Christ as Savior. Now you might be thinking, well, I don't want any part of that. Jesus, He was known by many names, but one of the names that Scripture gives the Lord Jesus Christ is that He was a man of sorrows. And of course, He was a man of sorrows because He bore our sin for us and bore our griefs and our burdens. But Jesus is also sorrowful in heart because of the sin of mankind. And not because it's sin, although God hates sin, but because sin separates man from him and his love. It grieves Jesus. That's why he died on Calvary for us. It didn't grieve. He would have stayed up in heaven. But he loves us so much and he was grieved by that. Jesus is also grieved. The Bible says he's moved with the feelings of our weaknesses. He's sorrowful when he sees his creation suffer and sees them go through times of torment. And he shares his grief with his followers. Matthew 11:29, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart, and you will find rest for your souls." What is Jesus saying? He's saying, in God's plan, in God's purpose, we're to accept His burden. It's light. It's easy. It's something that He gives us the power of His Holy Spirit to bear. But it's something that He shares. And you know, as bad as it is, it's a good thing. And one reason why when we know Christ and we accept the pain of Christ, the pain of mankind being separated by sin, the pain of those people going through times of trial and difficulty, and we share in those sorrows. It gives us purpose. It reminds us that we have a place within His kingdom. There is not one person who confesses the name of Jesus Christ who is insignificant. Everyone has a place and a role. It may not be a visible role like mine, You know, God in his wisdom put me here, but it could have very well been any of you. No great requirements other than someone who has yielded. But whether you're preaching, evangelizing, singing, no matter what, God has a place for you to weep in prayer for the lost, the dying, the hurting. Yes, we need to witness, but we also need to pray. To weep and to minister compassionately in the name of Jesus. Those who go through difficult times or those who don't know Christ. Our ability to experience joy is also enhanced immeasurably when we come to know Christ. Because when we know Jesus as our Savior, His love and His power touches us in the deepest places of our soul. God, when we know Jesus, He is able to touch us where no living individual, no person can touch us. He can touch us in areas that no beautiful landscape, no picture, no poem, no song could ever touch us. Because He is able, because He is God, and He is Spirit, to touch us in the deepest places of our being, our spirits. And so, in doing so, giving us not only joy, but joy because it is a joy that is spiritual, is a joy that is indescribable. 1 Peter 1:8, though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Why? When you come to Jesus, as far as your life, the things in your life, not a whole lot might change. You're not, when you accept Jesus, you're not all of a sudden going to get rich overnight. You're not going to get taller. You're not going to get better looking. Not that any of you are not good looking this morning. But you are forgiven and blessed and touched by God. So there should be a joy in you that knows no bounds. And I'm not saying that this morning. The Bible is telling that us this morning. That's part of the full and abundant life that Jesus has for us. The ability to love also immeasurably enhanced. Romans 5:5. Hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. Love of God is not only something that we experience, that we receive in the area of forgiveness, but is something that is poured in our hearts. Where does love come from? Love comes from literature, you know, everywhere. Love comes from the heart. And love of man can be good, but the love of man is imperfect. But when we're filled with the love of Jesus, our love then becomes perfected in Him. It's like the love of Jesus. The love that goes beyond, I'll love you if you love me. I'll love you no matter what because Jesus loves you and me. The love of God bringing us to a higher place. Bringing us to a greater intensity of selflessness and of compassion. Bringing us to a place where we can live completely free from the scourges of the soul, bitterness, envy, jealousy, unforgiveness. Oh, how many, some entertain these things, but how many would like to be free from bitterness and envy and all unforgiveness and all of those horrid things because they just corrupt so much the love of Jesus. Abundant life brings us above those things. And this is because just like in the creative act when God breathed in Adam the breath of life and he became a living soul, he more than just existed, he was living. So when we accept Christ, God does something brand new. He fills us with His light, John chapter 1, in Him, speaking of Jesus, was life, and that life was the light of man. The ministry of Christ is the ministry of life within your heart. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. Abundant, superfluous love. Discernment, knowledge of the Spirit. The burden of God, which is easy and light. Two things necessary to receive the to live in these things. Number one, new life must be received, salvation by grace through faith, but new life must be maintained. You have a physical body, and it must be maintained, or else it's going to break down. If you don't eat, you don't sleep. You don't rest, take care of yourself, take care of broken bones and take medicines when you're sick and whatnot. You will be headed for trouble. Life requires attention. It requires nurture. It requires protection if it's going to flourish. And as natural life is, so is spiritual life. We must care. We must protect, because if not, our lives will suffer greatly. Think of natural life. And yes, God has given the ability to think, experience pain, experience joy, ability to love to mankind, outside of the spiritual. That's just part of being people. If people aren't careful, if they don't take care of things, those blessings are lost. Think of the ability to think or to reason. And I know in life there are varying degrees of intelligence. You have your scientists and things and great thinkers and whatnot. And you have people who, display intelligence in other areas. But if people abuse their body through drug abuse, alcoholism, it's not just things that affect your internal organs. But in personal interaction with people who have struggled with addiction, it's affected their mind. I know one poor guy. I visited him in prison. I visited him in home, spent much time with him. He still couldn't remember my name. This day, I think he thinks I'm Rick. He's in Illinois. Which, didn't matter. But it shows you how you can lose that blessing that you have been given. There are many people today, emotionally scarred people, who have the inability to experience pain. And I'm not making excuses for people, but some people grow up in such garbage. It's no wonder that they do the things that they do in life, And I don't know all that would happen in some of these things that have, home invasions and horrible killings in our cities and homes, even in suburbia. But the Bible does speak of a condition known as the seared conscience, where someone loses the ability to empathize with others and is without heart, able to perpetrate violence against people. The ability to experience joy. Some people have allowed hardship, and hardship is going to come, disappointment, shattered dreams. Some people allow those things to consume them instead of moving beyond lost dreams or hardship. They choose to live in the past and in their pain. Because of that, they live in a perpetual state of despair, receiving alleviation only through the use of drugs or alcohol. There are people who lose their ability to love. Either they've loved and they've lost, and they allow themselves to grow hard or bitter, or they never allow their love to mature beyond love of self. Little kids, they love themselves. And that's good. That's fine. That's how God made us. But as we grow, it's important that we learn to love others. And some people never get to that place. And we talk about how knowing Jesus does heals those things and puts those things together. But this same affliction can happen to believers in the body of Christ regarding the new life, the abundant life that God has given. We can come to a place of losing our spiritual sensitivity and awareness. We can come to the place where we're not grieving with the Lord Jesus Christ. We're indifferent to the cause of Christ, to the plight of mankind. We can lose our joy, instead be overwhelmed with the sorrows of the day. We can be diminished in our love, reverting from the divine love of turning the other cheek and praying for persecutors to loving self. And it happens if we do not nurture this abundant life that God has given. Now, I have just given you the introduction to my message. I haven't started my first point yet. But we're going to stop here. And I'd like to ask our musicians to come. But God, in Scripture, has given us four clear keys to nurture the new life that Jesus Christ has given us. And the four we'll be sharing over at least next week, perhaps the next 2 weeks, are righteousness, knowledge, wisdom, and vision. These things ensure that Scripture says that we'll live in His life, eternal life, abundant life, and not suffer loss or destruction. And as our musicians begin to play softly this morning, I'd like us all to bow our heads and to close our eyes. And to be a person who is in Christ, not just in life, but in Christ, who is living, we need to be people who are committed to taking care of the new life that God has given us. But this morning, I'm not here to speak to that person. I'm here to speak to two people this morning regarding this new life that Jesus Christ has for everyone. And the first person, you can go ahead and play softly, Christine, if you'd like, is the person who has not yet come to that place of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, life, if there's anything I can tell you about life, and if you haven't discovered this yourself, you will soon discover it, that it's full of blessings and great things, but it's also full of valleys, of disappointments. If you accept Jesus Christ in your life, no matter if you're on the highest mountain or the lowest valley, God will make your life abundant. And I tell you that this morning not because I want you to make you feel good, or I want you to become a member of this church, or anything other than the fact that the Word of God says it. Jesus died for you to receive it. And He wants to come into your life and give you this brand new life, full of joy, full of an awareness of God's plan, not just for mankind, but for your own life, full of love. Sharing in His burden, being full of purpose. This is what Jesus has for you. And all you need to do is call on Him. You know, we can talk a lot about receiving Jesus, and it is a very big decision. And there are a lot of scriptures that talk about it. But as far as receiving Jesus, Scripture distills it down to just a few words in one verse. Those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's a matter of just calling out to Jesus and saying, Jesus, come into my life. I need you. And those who call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says they're saved, which means this brand new life that far supersedes the life that you were given by your parents is there for you. If you'd like to receive that life this morning, would you slip up your hand? I'd like to pray with you. Moments this morning. I want to give an opportunity for anyone who might be here this morning who doesn't personally know Jesus as their Savior. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The second person that I'd like to speak with this morning is a person who knows Jesus. But that life that you experienced when you first came to Christ is not as powerful and as vibrant as it once was. For whatever reason, that life seems to have gone. It seems to have disappeared or evaporated. And yes, it's important that we be people of purpose. And what I mean by that, we take what God has given us and we nurture it, we protect it through righteousness, wisdom, knowledge, vision, those things we're going to talk about. But when we we're in a place where we feel spiritually dead or near dead, where we're just going through the motions, even before we get to that place of commitment, we need God to restore life within us again. Let me tell you, there is nothing too difficult for the Lord Jesus Christ. And even though when we think in our minds we're beyond hope, that's where Christ can come in. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 verse 11, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives within you. What is that saying? The Holy Spirit is a resurrecting spirit. And that means that the Holy Spirit will not only resurrect you and that trump is sound, the dead in Christ are raised. He'll resurrect that new gift that God has given you today in the name of Jesus, the gift of life. He'll bring it back to life in the name of Jesus, because that's who Jesus is. That's his power. That's his might. You may be here this morning and you need God to bring about a resurrection of that new life within you. As we begin to worship, I invite you to come forward in Jesus' name, if that's speaking to you. And we want to pray with you. We want to believe God with you. And as you're praying, we're going to lay hands on you and I'd like maybe a couple of our deacons to come and also pray around the altar. We believe that in two and three touching anything and it shall be done. Let's believe God this morning. In the name of Jesus, would you stand? And if God is speaking to your heart this morning, if you need God to revive his love, his joy, his knowledge, his burden, his pain and his sorrow within your life, make your way forward and believe God for a resurrection in your spirit today. And I know God will grant it in the name of Jesus, if you would say.